Hey, right. Welcome to Comic Culture, the radio show that just continues to champion the local comic book
shop.
We've been doing it for what? This is our 37th year.
We're getting a little long on the tooth.
It feels like it, that's for sure.
It feels like it's been 40.
We're broadcasting at CFMU, McMaster's award-winning radio station, podcasting at comicbookdaily.com. I am Walter DeRailia, Overstreet Price Guide Advisor.
And I am Chris Owen, Professor at Hamilton's Mohawk College.
And like I said earlier, we're championing the local comic book shop, bringing you, the listener, the news you need to know every week, week in, week out, without fail.
Without fail. We are bringing you all the news that's fit to print. I mean, we're not the Wall Street Journal. No,
the
sorry.
The news you can use.
Right, that's what it is. Right.
And every week we start with Chris delving into, so it's Wednesday. It being Wednesday today, your local comic book shop, which you should be visiting, by the way.
Yeah, you know, we haven't really explained that in a long time. So because we air on Wednesdays, and every Wednesday, new comic books come out this week.
That's right. They hit your local comic book shop every Wednesday.
That's right, yeah. So
you should be getting your butt into your local comic book shop.
So we like to give a little smattering what's happening out on the new this week stands.
Right. So, and there'll be a section called New This Week.
Yep.
And your comic book shop will order all tons and tons of new comics hitting the newsstands this week. And Chris will just take just a few little gems.
Just a few little tidbits here and there.
And wet your whistle.
Wet your whistle. Wet your... do we have a sponsor?
Of course we do. We always have a sponsor. This week's sponsor is brought to us by Hennessy, very special club soda.
Oh, very special club soda.
Now
nice.
In a new little Mickey size.
Well, you know what? I hear
just in case you know you have need that club soda fix, but just, you don't have the budget
because
for
you
it.
Never know when you're going to need it, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah. All right. Let's start with Marvel this week, and we're going to talk about Marvel's continuing to do this What If series. This What If that is today is Marvel Comics. What if Marvel Comics went metal with Ghost Rider?
So wait a minute.
What's
metal?
Metal.
Like DC's metal?
No. So this is more like what if Ghost Rider was like heavy metal?
Heavy metal.
Yeah.
Right.
Like when it became like what if the Ghost Rider became like a rocker and like
played
a guitar and listen to grunge music or whatever he happens
to do. Is the wrong word, I think. Right on is more like soul.
Soul, right, yeah, you're right. It's more like
groovy.
Groove, that's, yeah, it's like, sure, let's go with that. I dig it.
Right on. I see.
Right on.
Marvel Comics went metal. No, I said that wrong. What if Marvel Comics went metal with Ghost Rider? Well, you'll have to go into your local comic book shop to find out.
Exactly. All right. Next up, we've got X-Men Black number one, Mystique. X-Men's doing all these different... I should say Marvel's doing all these X-Men stories. You know, X-Men Black, this, and Magneto.
Listen, Marvel is very excited about having Disney, having the X-Men franchise back.
Yes, yes.
So there's all kinds of X-Men projects happening in print.
Yes, there is.
To supersede, is that the right word?
Supersede, yeah.
All the X-Men stuff that's going to be coming on in the pipeline down the road.
Yep.
Hey, Chris.
Yeah, I'm listening.
So, one of the hottest books on the back issue market is X-Men Comics number one.
Okay.
From 1963, the first appearance of
the
X-Men.
Right, the OG version.
Yes.
Right.
And that's because, you know, that's obviously the first X-Men, but what probably just as hot is the giant size X-Men number one from 1975.
Right.
Because that introduces the X-Men team that we know.
All the new characters.
Well, not all of them, because Professor X was an old character.
Okay, yeah. Fair enough, yeah.
But Wolverine and Storm and Nightcrawler and all that stuff.
The team you love to hate.
That's right. Do you think now that Marvel has...
Yep.
License and property and whatever the heck you want to call it from the X-Men.
Right.
What comic book, Chris, what is the only comic book in the history of the world that sold 7 million copies?
X-Men.
Yeah.
X-Men number one.
Jim Lee's X-Men number one. With all those X-Men guys.
Yep.
Do you think Marvel would have the audacity, the gonads,
to
try to Do those X-Men? Are they roughly the same X-Men? I don't even know. Here I am opening my mouth.
That X-Men has like Psylocke in it and Forge and
Gambit.
Gambit and Rogue. It's a different. Right.
Do you think they'll go with the 90s X-Men? Do you think that that's a book that we should be buying? Do you think that's a book we should be buying up at a buck each by the case?
Totally. At a buck each, why not?
Because, you know, that may be the direction the new movie
90s X-Men is still hot. People still love that team with Jubilee and Rogue and Gambit.
Yeah, but that book, there's more of that book than there are pebbles of sand on the beaches of the earth.
I doubt that, but I understand what you're saying.
Right.
There are a lot of them, but why not? Why not get a nice high-grade version? I mean, how many 9/8s are there out there? I mean, I'm sure one of our fans can easily go to a site and let us know how many 9/8s have been graded for that X-Men number one. Right. However, remember, there's also
seven covers. So you need a 9/8 of each cover. And I think on that book, honestly, 9/8s are relevant. You need 9/9s.
Yeah, I agree. Or even a 10.
Because with 9/9s, you might not have 10 across the spectrum.
Why not?
They may not be graded. Like, you might not have a 10 across the spectrum. But I guarantee you each one of those seven covers has at least a multiple number of 9/9s.
Totally.
So the trick there is to get all seven copies in 9.9.
Okay, so
Bob's your uncle.
Now, if you happen to get that, do you sell them all at once?
If you happen to see, I don't know
where the most beautiful X-Men in the world. Online. Do you sell them all?
You have to, because it diminishes once you.
Right. Yeah. Interesting.
Because you have to sell it as a set.
Well, here's the other thing, though. Here's the thing. Uncanny X-Men is coming back, right?
Right.
So, and there's rumors about Chris Claremont, and there's rumors about John Byrne, and all these things coming back, right? Uh-huh. So, who knows what's going to happen with the X-Men, and especially now that apparently the Fox deal is going to be a done deal by January 1st.
Look out.
So who knows how hard they're going to be pushing X-Men come January.
Chris, they're going to be pushing it hard.
They are going to be pushing it hard. But you know what? X-Men Black Mystique number
one. Oh,
right.
We were talking about a comic, right.
Yes.
Okay.
Out today.
Hey, I'm surprised X-Men went black, but they did. Good luck going back. X-Men Black number one is at your local comic book shop.
All right. Next up, we've got DC Comics Justice League number 10.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is all starting the prelude to... there's going to be a huge crossover event going on called Drowned Earth. And this is now going to showcase Aquaman, and of course the Aquaman movie's coming out soon. So they're trying to showcase and get things going with Aquaman and all the different things that Aquaman can do, and how basically if in fact there was a drowned Earth, and let's say all the Earth was succumbed to water, basically Aquaman would be the guy to look after things.
Is Kevin Costner in that?
No, that's Waterworld.
Oh.
Waterworld, okay. But no, he's not in that. No.
Okay.
But you know, close, very close.
I was trying.
Yeah.
Hey, that's a good looking book, right?
Good look. That is good, a good great look. Cover.
Is
isn't
that
it?
Called the naked cover?
No, they call those virgin covers. Virgin covers.
Virgin. Is that a virgin cover?
That is a virgin cover. Yeah. Wow. So basically, for those of you that don't know what we're talking about here, they've taken like the giant logo and the giant price tag and all that kind of stuff and taken it all off.
Right.
And so basically, just in very, very small print at the bottom, you have the title of the book and the number and the price and all that stuff.
When you pick this up, do not soil this. This is a virgin cover.
Virgin.
All right. This is, what is it called?
Justice League.
Justice League number 10. And hey, it's from our good friend Francis Manapul.
I know.
A good friend up the road, QEW.
That's right.
Good job, Francis. And it's at your local comic book shop.
All right. Also from DC, I wanted to bring this up because, you know, it is Halloween coming up soon.
Mm-hmm.
And Scooby-Doo number 95.
Whoa.
Scooby-Doo number 95. And, you know, it's still going strong. It's still drawn. And we still have the old usual gang here. And they've got, it looks like the old Mystery Machine is being... chased by a monster truck. And, of course, it's an actual monster truck.
Whoa, I like that. I love the Mystery Machine.
I know, right?
I always thought I was wrong. I was, you know, I'm not wrong much.
Well, yeah.
Hello. But I was very wrong for years and years and years.
Yeah.
And I was almost disappointed when I found out.
What's that?
I always thought the Mystery Machine was that Volkswagen van, you know, from the 60s, the iconic Volkswagen Beetle van. But
right.
It's a Dodge.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, some sort of old Dodge, which is cool in itself.
Yeah, sure, why not?
But you know that, like, kind of beach bum 60s?
Yeah, yeah.
That Volkswagen Beetle van so iconic in your mind as that kind of 60s.
What were those things called? Westphalias or something like that?
I don't know what they were called, yeah. But, yeah, so anyway, I don't know where I went with that, but...
Anyway,
Scooby-Doo. Hey, Scooby-Doo 95 is at your local comic book shop today.
All right. Next up, I want to talk about Hit Girl.
Hit Girl.
Hit Girl. It scores so...
Hit me!
Hit Girl is... it's a Marvel Image comic.
Chris, I just got to interject.
What's that?
That is some fine club soda.
Fine club soda, yeah.
That just hit the spot.
There's
right there.
There's some more club soda if you want some.
Oh right, okay, thank you.
I got a small bottle of it. So,
I noticed.
Anyways, Hit Girl, Rome Part 1 of 4 comes out today, and Hit Girl is part of the whole Kick-Ass series of that whole Millerverse, if that's what you want to call it.
Right.
You know,
I remember her. She was that little girl that just kicked ass.
Yeah, that hit people.
Yeah,
yeah.
Did
yeah.
nasty things.
Yes,
to
did nasty things.
So she got her own.
She has her own book.
Oh, there. Whoa! It's up to number 9 already.
I know. I'm just saying this is part 1 of 4 of the Rome
number
series.
Number 9.
Hey,
listen. So Hit Girl number 9, Rome part 1 of 4. And the great thing, it's got like a Vespa scooter on it.
Yeah, I know.
So
right?
Rome,
yeah,
right?
Because that's the whole Rome thing, right?
With a little bit of the Colosseum in the background.
Yeah.
Hey, check that out at your local comic book shop.
All right.
Chris, what else you got?
Last book, but certainly not least, we have Savage Dragon number 239.
Is that
number
possible?
239.
Is that by our boy Larson still doing that?
Eric Larson's still going strong.
Remember I met him at that Fan Expo after party? It was last year. It wasn't this year.
Okay, yeah.
It was in 17. Some schmo at the bar. And he's hi, what are you drinking? And I go, I don't know, what are you drinking?
Yeah.
And then we just start chatting it up, and we just chatted up and chatted up, hit it off.
Yeah.
I don't know where. I was afraid where it was going to go. We hit it off so well.
Yeah.
And... And then, I don't know, we could call back to our guys, and we went, I don't know, we went to eat somewhere or something. He goes, hey, Walt, you met Eric Larson.
Right.
I go, I did.
I did?
And apparently.
Eric who?
Apparently that was Eric Larson.
Oh, that's cool. That's awesome.
Yeah. But he was a really down-to-earth guy.
Really
he didn't
nice
say,
guy.
Hey, I'm Eric Larson.
No,
you know
no,
what I
well,
mean?
Clearly,
I
just, yeah. He didn't even know who he
so
was.
So he was a really cool guy, down-to-earth. He loves Toronto.
Well,
he's having a good time.
It's funny you should say that. And the reason why I chose this book today is... on the cover, it has...
He says he hates Toronto?
No, he loves Toronto because Savage Dragon is actually wearing a Canadian flag shirt.
Well, look at him go.
It's pretty cool, eh?
Yeah, that is very cool.
You don't see that very often in comics, so I thought I wanted to bring that to your attention. And now, I have to say that this comic is not meant for kids.
Uh-huh.
If you were to open up the first couple pages of this book, you would see that there are scenes that are not intended for a younger audience. And I'm not going to get too in-depth with what's going
my
on.
My goodness. Chris, I'm going to have to confiscate this one for
research purposes.
Research purposes.
Yes.
My goodness.
Yeah.
All right. Well, anyway, yeah.
So, yeah. So, just, you know, for those of you who are listening out there and own stores, you may want to take a look at Savage Dragon number 239.
Number 239
yeah.
and put an advisory on that
yes.
puppy. Hey, listen, Chris. Chris just gave us a sampling of, I think he did about 12.
Oh, at least.
Comics that are hitting the new this week stand. You owe it to yourself to go into your local comic book shop right now or 10 minutes from now and check out the new this week.
All right, listen. Let's have a quick musical interlude. And, of course, I have decided this week we're going to do an all 60s Spider-Man themes today. So
that's not the worst decision you've ever
made,
that's for sure.
It certainly is not. Anyways, here's a little bit of the old Spider-Man.
Thank you.
Chris. You could have let that go on for
right?
the rest of the show.
I wanted to. I wanted to.
I have a feeling the listeners wanted to, too, rather than hear us talk for the next 20 minutes.
Them.
Neither do I. Hey, listen, Chris, brings us to industry news, and industry news is brought to us by, again, Hennessy's Mickey. It's the club soda in a small bottle that packs a big...
Big punch.
Big bubbly punch.
Big bubbly punch.
Big bubbly
really does.
Punch.
Really yeah. does.
It's don't let the size fool you.
No, no.
It can do some damage.
You know what they say? Good things come in small packages.
Did they just say that?
They do say that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right, Chris. Let's talk about.
Hey, you know what? I want to talk about before you even go anywhere else. I want to talk about there was a Hamilton Comic Con going on in Hamilton this past
weekend. Wait a minute. The Hamilton Comic Con. Are you saying that was going on in Hamilton?
In Hamilton.
Okay.
Unlike the Hamilton Comic Con that usually happens
in Mount Hope. Fair. All right. Yeah, there was a Hamilton Comic Con going on in Hamilton this past weekend. There were we were set up at the show. Big B was set up at the show. We had an annual. What we like to do at the shop, Chris, is we like to combine the con and have like a con sale.
Right.
So we'd like to try to use the con to try to muster up some extra business and say, hey, how you doing?
Hey,
how you doing?
Yeah, how you doing?
Are you from out of town?
Hey,
oh, yeah.
How'd that work for you?
Listen, there's always next year.
Right.
On paper, the plan is good.
Sure.
So you chase them up to the shop and you hope for extra business and stuff like that. You and I were talking about it earlier. The Hamilton Comic Con is the sister con to the Niagara Comic Con.
Right.
And God bless Hamilton. I love the city. It's my favorite city in the world.
Sure. Why not?
It's the Hamilton Comic Con this year was just, I don't know what the word is. It was, hey, listen, there was people there.
Yep.
There were commerce going on. There were artists and there were celebrities and there was all that kind of stuff like every other Comic Con. But I think it just felt fatigued.
Yeah.
If that's a good word.
It's, I didn't go this year, but I normally go every year. But I'll tell you something, it felt fatigued last year.
And I think it's the timing.
I don't know if it's the timing or if it's the venues or it's...
No, it has to be the timing.
But I mean, it's also... why is it... Okay, maybe it's the timing then because it seems like the Niagara show gets better guests.
Well, the Niagara show, first of all, Niagara Falls, large tourist destination.
Right.
But also Niagara Falls, where the convention center happens to be... Very easy to park, very close to a lot of attractions.
Right, right, right.
The hotel, well, Hamilton's got a lot of hotels, so that's not an issue. But it's also the time of year. It's
right.
early June.
Right.
You still have the summer way ahead of you.
Yeah,
the weather's beautiful.
It's true.
You have all these cons. You have these other cons. And now it's like in the local area, you know, Kitchener, the Tri-City Comic-Con has happened already. I think
right.
one of the London Comic-Cons have happened already.
Right.
The massive Fan Expo Comic-Con has happened already.
Yep.
The world's largest Comic-Con, New York, happened already.
Right.
It's like maybe it's, you know, con fatigue.
People are saturated.
Con fatigue.
Yeah. Con
it
fatigue.
Might be con fatigue.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I don't know if that's a thing.
I think I knew a con fatigue once.
Did you?
Yeah, I think I went to school with him.
Con fatigue?
Yeah.
Wow. What's his name? Jacob?
Jacob Confetti.
I might have known a Jacob Confetti.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
That's what I remember
anyway.
Right. And I think, I don't know, it's you know what I mean? You so badly want your local Comic-Con to do well.
Absolutely.
You know?
Well, the thing is, there's a lot of, in Hamilton, there are a lot of artists, and there are a lot of people who are willing to go to these conventions. A big comic book community in Hamilton.
Yeah.
So
it's one of the older communities of comics.
So I don't understand why a show like this can't do better, and I don't know what they're doing wrong, other than the fact that, as you say, it's con fatigue and it's the timing of it.
That must be it. I think maybe if you did Hamilton in the early spring or something, there'd be a little bit more energy. The show has everything it needs to have.
But
the only thing it lacked was this energy.
Well, and you know what?
You know what,
like,
I mean.
The Hamilton Convention Center, you know, it's dated.
It's still big enough for that con.
I guess. Uh-huh. I guess. But I mean, you know, back in the early 80s,
right.
when we were going to cons,
yeah.
that would be a a bigger big con. Right? But now these cons that we go to, Fan Expo takes up the entire convention center, Metrotron Convention Center. So I'm saying everything, and north and south.
And everything in between.
You know, and we've gone to, you know, Chicago and Pittsburgh and New York and all these places. And it's hard to do a show like that. You know, you go to Hamilton. I mean, Niagara's okay. Niagara's a good show.
Yeah.
But I find that Hamilton is just almost too small for what you're. It's almost also a little bit cost prohibitive. I mean, I know you're friends with the organizer, but I mean to pay like whatever it is, $20.
I'm really good friends with them now. I still owe them money for the table.
But isn't it like $20 or something to get in for the day?
Yeah.
And you know, you go in and
it's more. I think it was like $30 on the Saturday.
So that's I don't know.
Right.
I just find it's there's something wrong with that show.
Well, anyway, the last con of the season, and that's a marker. I think that's something we should talk about on the show right now. It's the last con of the season for us. There's tons of cons. There's cons every week.
Yeah.
There's the Grand Rapids con coming up in two weeks or something like that. And there's some guy that, like a big, might be Burn or somebody. Somebody big is going to that con, right? But if you want to go to a con 52 weeks of the year,
you can
go to a con 52 weeks of the year.
You know, next con that you and I should go to is the Aloha Con in Hawaii.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Just write it off as a business expense.
Yeah, we'll do a live podcast
absolutely,
on the Saturday
Waikiki. Maybe we can get CFMU to pay for us to go there.
I think they should.
That's very local news.
They are an award-winning radio station thanks to us.
Right?
Right. So they should spring for it. But locally, it's the last con of the year. As a retailer, as a person that sets up at cons, I'm kind of relieved.
Yeah.
Our next local con is March.
Right.
The kind of first Toronto con.
Right.
We continue to do these one day.
Isn't there a one day show?
Well, we do these one day task specific Comic Cons at a local hotel in Toronto every 2 months.
Yeah,
don't really count them. You breeze in and out with three boxes. And
Okay.
There's not like staffing and setup and van rentals. They're quite large endeavors, these things. But I mean, I can use the reprieve. I'm fatigued from cons this year.
Oh, absolutely.
I guess what I want to end at is, judging from the success of Fan Expo this year and the New York Comic Con this year,
there's
definitely not con fatigue on a large scale.
On a pop
culture populist scale.
Right.
Comic Cons are still very, very, very viable.
Very much so.
I think the issue now is, like we alluded to earlier, just every single populated center has a Comic Con.
Right.
And there has to be some casualties.
Yep, I agree.
So that might be coming.
It might be. Right. Listen, hey, I got a question for you. Speaking of, you know, you were saying that very strong community in Hamilton for comic books.
Sure,
But there's still a lot of people out there who are still just getting interested in the comic book world. And I thought, you know, for a long time, you and I always talk about things that are very collector-specific. And what I want to ask you today is, if you were just getting into comic books and graphic novels, and so you have to think about books that are exciting and relatively easy to get into, what are your favorites? So if you could name like two or three of your favorites, and I'll do the same, of comic books that, you know, if somebody knew who the characters were but didn't necessarily know all of the history or didn't know, like, I'm going to exclude books like Watchmen.
Right.
Because Watchmen's too intellectual. Like, it's
right,
too...
Yeah. It's too
meaty.
Yeah, my head hurts when I read it.
Right.
Yeah.
But you know, if you wanted to say a book like, say, Dark Knight Returns...
Right.
Whereas the characters are familiar...
Even that's meaty.
But it's not as, like...
And not as... It's pretty meaty still.
It's still meaty, but it's not as... Not as meaty.
So what you're saying is Miller's not as smart as Moore.
No, I think...
I'm pretty sure that's what you're saying.
I'm saying at all. In fact, you know, if in fact, you know, either of those two ever wanted to be on the show, they can just email us and let us know.
I say they both come on and they debate. Have a debate.
But okay,
like, I have a half-wits between those two guys.
Do you remember half-wits SCTV?
Yeah.
Name.
Martin Short. Name. Yeah. No, the best one. Okay, this is the way it went. Martin Short, he's like one of these students, goes, and Alex Trebek goes, name me a food made in Italy. And then the Martin Short goes, Swedish meatballs, Alex.
Swedish meatballs.
And then he goes, you idiot. Where the hell do you think Swedish meatballs are made? And Eugene Levy comes in, Spain? Anyway.
I also like, because Alex Trebek gets so frustrated with them by the end. He's like, okay, name a number between 1 and 10. And they buzz in, 12. And then the next person, no, you're wrong. Next person, has 12 been said?
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyways.
Poor Alex Trebek. He got it like double-barreled from SCTV, and then he got it double-barreled from Celebrity Jeopardy on Saturday Night Live.
That's right,
What's the question?
So name three comic stories that you would recommend to somebody that is just that is interested in getting into comics.
Okay. What I'm going to do, Chris, is what I'm going to do. I'm going to stick to spandex.
Okay.
Superhero spandex. Mm-hmm.
I think it's a wise decision.
Yeah. I'm going to start with it's top of the food chain in terms of quality.
Yeah.
But minimalistic in terms of time.
All right.
And maximalistic in terms of return on time.
Oh, nice. Okay.
I'm going to go with Batman Year One.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Year One, Miller's Batman Year One. Do that before you do Dark Knight.
Yep.
You know?
Yep. I agree.
So Batman Year One, it's four issues. It collects Batman 404, 405, 406, 407. And it is brilliant.
Yes.
Fantastic. Yes. Off the charts.
All right. So, you know what? Tell you what. I'll do one.
Okay. You do one.
I think that I would probably recommend for someone that doesn't really know a lot about comics.
Because Batman is like.
Batman's popular.
Universal.
Yep.
Universal.
I'm going to go with Marvels by Alex Ross and Kurt Busiek.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's a book that it's taken from the point of view of an outsider already.
Right.
So you don't necessarily have to know everything about it. The story envelops, it keeps on going, and it's good enough to know.
And it's kind of like a sneaky way to tell you the history of Marvel.
Exactly.
But in a comic book format.
In four issues, and it's done, right?
So that kind of catches you up. It gives you a pretty good base of the Marvel universe.
Everything that's going on.
Going
in the
back
universe.
To the old Marvel characters in Timely in the late 1930s, 1940, right?
Yeah.
Right? Going back to Human Torch and Submariner and Captain America from 1941.
And then eventually to the 60s and all that stuff.
Right.
Yep.
Right. Okay, that's a good one. I like that one. It won't be my pick, but if you do that one, you might as well do Kingdom Come.
Right. So we're going to call this 0.1.
Yeah.
So 1.1 for me, it would also be for both of us, we'll say, is Kingdom Come. Kingdom Come, just like Marvels did for Marvel, like sort of the beginning of Marvels, Kingdom Come does sort of like a dystopian future.
That's right.
Right?
That's
so
right. Yeah.
Also done by Alex Ross, but this time written by Mark Waid.
Mark Waid, yeah.
So it's an awesome series. So basically Superman has decided to retire and he's done with everything.
Okay. My second pick, again, immersing yourself into... Because if a person's immersing themselves into the media...
Yep.
Then they want to be impressed and stay and realize how good this can be. And again, we're talking about spandex, straight down the middle, superhero type stories. I don't know, you probably might have picked it too, but I'm going to go with Born Again.
Right.
Probably my favorite dissection of a hero in terms of that's Daredevil.
Yeah.
Collecting 227 to 233. I think that's a seven-parter.
Yeah.
Stunning. Absolutely stunning in its scope, stunning in the pacing, the storytelling, the art. Everything is just top-notch. All the other, it's not just Daredevil and Kingpin is the nemesis, but all like a lot of the other heroes are dragged into it. They come in and out of the story. It makes you kind of... It is just quality stuff that you'll really, really enjoy, and you'll become A, a Daredevil fan, but B, more importantly, a comic book fan reading
Right,
that. Yeah,
right.
So.
Nice. My next pick, I'm going to say, is Secret Wars. So Marvel Superhero Secret Wars. And I reread some of it the other day. Uh-huh. And Jim Shooter, who was the editor-in-chief at the time, you know, and they when they were writing this book, they wrote it so that it was they took all the heroes and all the villains, all the popular ones anyways, and took them out of the Earth. And they moved them to another place where they could battle it out. But what I liked about it is they actually introduce each other.
Right.
So, like, in the first panel, it's like, or one of the first panels, I should say, you have, you know, all the superheroes saying, well, you know, I don't know if we know everybody here, so let's just introduce ourselves. Well, I'm you know, Spider-Man, and then, you know, I'm such and such. So they actually introduce themselves. So what better way to introduce a new reader?
Fair.
You know, and then you get enveloped into these, and it's just here, just, you know, major heroes and major bad guys.
Yeah.
Right? It's a slugfest.
Slugfest.
Right? So it's a great book.
Okay.
That's going to be my second pick.
That's your second pick. Yeah. I like it. That's a good pick. You're obviously not going to include Secret Wars 2 in that, or I'll punch you.
No, no. Yeah.
All right. My last one will be, Chris, I'm not, in generally speaking in my life, I'm not a political person. I like to consider myself more as a people person.
Right.
Politics is a, my dad taught me long ago, nobody's right in politics.
Right.
Kind of mirroring today's culture of you're right and I'm wrong, and there's no middle ground, there's no discourse, there's no everything, and I'm not picking sides here.
Yeah.
Both sides of the political spectrum, left and right, have this disease right now where it's like, you know, finger pointing and blaming and everything.
Sure.
And yeah, you know, I'm not trying to lecture here or not or get on a soapbox, even though I am, I guess.
Yeah, a little bit.
And I also want to pick this one because I think it was a pivotal point in what we champion is a local comic book shop. I think it might have been the first kind of big mega event to kind of that got people really into local comic book shops because there's a lot of media on it. And that's Civil War.
Okay, yeah.
Civil War.
Interesting.
Was, you know, and there's a movie obviously about it and stuff in Captain America. But Civil War was like a huge, probably for comic shops, one of the biggest events of the last 15 years, let's say. And it pitted Marvel's characters on, you know, whether they should register with the government or whether they shouldn't register with the government.
Right, right.
Some people you thought would, didn't. Some people you thought wouldn't, did.
Yeah.
And then it polarized collectors. It polarized. But what I liked about it the most, it got people talking and it got people.
Oh, absolutely.
It got people picking sides. It got people, you know, mad at their character, believe it or not.
Yeah.
I can't believe he'd vote. Pro or vote against or whatever. So that was like I enjoyed the series.
Yep.
I read it. I really enjoyed the series, but I liked what it did. It that infused a lot of energy into local comic book shops
for sure.
And just I won't say the collecting of comics, but just generally just the appreciation of comics and the proliferation or the spreading of the comics and comic characters.
Yep.
So I'll say Civil War is my last one.
All right. I like that. Mm-hmm. That's a good one. My last one, you know, I'm trying to sort of stick with spandex heroes and characters that people know about. So I'm going to go with Wonder Woman, the Hikeshia.
Mm.
And that is that book. It was a graphic novel only. It just came out as a one sort of one-off.
Right.
And it's Wonder Woman, and she's basically... I don't want to give the whole story away, but she kind of decides that... I mean, it's a bit of a feminist book, if you want to call it that. But on the cover of the book alone, you have... all you can see is Wonder Woman's boot stepping on Batman's head.
Nice.
And you can tell that...
Oh, I remember that.
Remember that book?
It was oversized.
Oversized book, and it's a really cool book.
Uh-huh.
If you wanted to get a different Wonder Woman book, remember those Treasury format books that Alex Ross did.
Yes, of course.
There's the Wonder Woman version of that. Is the Hikeshi is different, but there is a Wonder Woman one as well.
Oh, okay. That's the one I'm thinking of.
So there's another one of that, but they're two different books, but I love both of them.
Right.
The Hikeshi one, the cover, I believe, is by J.G. Jones, which, right. And the Alex Ross Wonder Woman book is awesome too. But I wanted to kind of stick with the format of superheroes. Now, if I had to go out, I'm gonna say one more book here.
Sure.
If I had to step outside the lines of superheroes, I think my pick, and I'm going to ask you for what your pick is, uh-huh. too. My one pick would be From Hell.
From Hell. Beautiful
which is
book.
Alan yeah. Moore book uh-huh. with Eddie Campbell. It's the size of a telephone book, uh-huh. if you know what that is. I don't even make those anymore.
Yeah.
It's a great book, and it's basically a story about Jack the Ripper.
Yep.
I've read it a couple times. Lots of reading to do with that one. It can be a little daunting. Some of the pages are jam packed full of words, but right. that's always a good thing. So
okay, my favorite for sure. Then my the thing I would pick outside the spandex box is my favorite read of all time in terms of sequential art.
Yep.
Okay, my favorite read of all time.
Okay.
In terms of sequential art. The art.
Yeah.
The sequential art. So yeah, not yeah. just the art, yeah, but the sequential art, yeah. you know. Like, you know Jack Davis when he does Garfield?
Yeah, yeah,
you know,
yeah.
He does those panels.
Jim Davis.
Yeah. Jack Davis, the EC artist yeah. out of my head. Jim Davis, he does and I always used to point out to my kids, I go, like, you know, like he only does five panels, but
yeah.
he maximizes the storytelling
in
the panels because
yeah.
there's no words,
no.
but each panel leads to another, right?
Sure.
The book that I'm thinking of has just the gorgeous art itself,
yep.
but the pacing of the panels and stuff.
Right.
And then the storytelling is off the charts. And it's...
what book?
Bone.
Oh, Bone. Yeah, great
Bone.
Book. Yeah.
Bone. That's my awesome. Favorite. Awesome. The pacing, the comedy, the timing, the... just beautiful.
Yeah,
beautiful
awesome book.
Yeah.
Great pick.
So,
great pick. That's by
Bone.
Jeff Smith.
Jeff Smith.
Jeff
Bone.
Smith. Awesome.
Yeah.
All right. Listen.
Who ignored me once, who lied to me at New York Comic Con years ago.
Who hasn't lied to you?
When he was setting up at his booth and I walked by and I go, is Jeff Smith here yet? Oh, no, he'll be by later. And then, then I see him later signing, right? It's like...
That's hilarious. Listen, I thought that was an interesting thing to talk about.
Cause, yeah.
Because you know what? We all too often on this show, we talk a lot about collector stuff.
Right.
But you know, every once in a while, we need to think about, you know, bringing new people into the fold.
Absolutely
right?
do.
So,
absolutely do.
Listen, let's have a quick musical interlude. And then we're going to come back and talk a little bit more about industry news. Let's have some more music from Spider-Man. Let's go with this one here.
There's nothing really goes better than some jazzy 60s Spider-Man music and Hennessy Club Soda.
Really does, doesn't it?
And Hennessy Club Soda continues to be our sponsor pretty well for the whole rest of the show because Hennessy Club Soda has Chris and I feeling pretty good right now. And if you want to feel good, we suggest...
If you want to feel nice and light and bubbly...
Light and bubbly and full of effervescence.
Effervescence.
Try Hennessy Club Soda.
Nice.
Chris, hey, you had a little bit there, a question for you.
Yeah.
I got a few questions.
Oh,
now, Chris,
dear, okay.
You know, you ever hear of that ink test, the Arnold Horshack test?
Arnold Horshack test?
Yeah.
Mr. Cata. The Rorschach
test. The Rorschach test.
Ink blot test.
The ink blot test. So that you don't even need that test.
No?
I've come up with a new test.
Oh, okay. Yeah. What's that?
I ask you a couple of comic book questions.
Okay.
And, did I ever tell you that joke? I must have told you. I'll tell it to the audience. You ever tell you that joke about the guy that goes into the psychiatrist?
Mm-hmm.
And he goes into the psychiatrist and he goes, I don't know, doc, I think there's something wrong with me.
Yeah.
And the psychiatrist goes, oh, yeah, we'll figure out what the heck's going wrong with you. And he picks up a paper and he draws a circle on the paper.
Yeah.
And then...
You've told me this before.
Well, I'm telling it now. Okay, so I'm too deep into it.
All right.
And he goes, well, what do you see, sir? And the guy goes, well, a naked woman. He goes, all right, I'll draw another one. He goes, takes a second piece of paper, draws a triangle, and goes, well, what do you see now? He goes, well, another naked woman just upside down.
Right.
Right, okay. And then he draws a third one. He has a big rectangle. He goes, and now? And the guy goes, well, two naked women. And the guy, you know, the psychiatrist puts the cap back on the pen, confident, saying, sir, I'm pretty certain that you have an obsession with sex. And the guy looks at him and goes, I have an obsession with sex? Who the heck's drawing the naked women here, you or me?
I have a similar joke. Well, not similar. I have another old-timey psychiatrist.
Go ahead. I want to hear it.
So
this is now a comedy show. It's no longer a comic book show. See what Hennessy Club Soda will do to you?
Mine's quick. Mine's just a one-liner.
Oh, okay.
So a guy walks into a psychiatrist's office wrapped only in saran wrap.
Uh-huh.
The psychiatrist says, clearly I can see your nuts.
Hey-o!
Hey-o!
Hold on. wonderful. Jeez, I don't know where to...
Anyways...
I can't get that image out of my head. Hey, Chris, I have a few questions for you, and by the end of these questions...
Yes.
I will know you inside out better than your wife.
Okay, all right, well, bring it on.
Okay, I'm going to ask you a few questions. Let's start with... comic books.
Okay.
If a guy offered you, and you kind of sense value to a degree.
Yeah.
So you may think resale down the road, but they're close enough in value that it shouldn't be a thing. It should be more about want.
Okay.
If a guy offered you a beautiful high-grade Hulk 181 or a beautiful high-grade Spidey 129, which one would you take?
Oh, that's
for
good.
Free.
For free?
Yeah.
That's a great question.
For your collection.
Now we're going to assume that I already don't have either of those. Is that what you're saying?
Well, do you?
Well, I'm not going to tell the listening audience what I own.
Let's assume you don't have either.
Okay, let's say then I'm going to go with the Incredible Hulk 181.
Hulk 181. First appearance. And what made you pick that one over the Spidey 129?
First appearance of Wolverine. I've always been a big Wolverine fan.
Okay.
I do like so 129 was a Punisher fan. I'm also a big Punisher fan as well. I'm going to go with Wolverine. I'm going to go with that one.
Okay, that's fair. Chris, who would go further on a first date?
Hmm.
Diana Prince or Bruce Wayne? Who do you think would go further on a first date and why?
Probably Bruce Wayne.
Bruce Wayne,
yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And why would he go further on a first date?
I just feel like Wonder Woman, Diana Prince is probably a little more
too regal.
Too
into herself.
Bruce Wayne's a playboy.
Yeah. Oh, good for you. Right? That's a good thing. All right, Chris. So a guy offers you high-grade copies, you don't have neither of them in your collection.
Okay, yeah.
Of a beautiful, gorgeous Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles number one.
Okay.
Or a 35-cent variant Star Wars number one.
Oh.
Which of those two books do you take?
Now, probably the 35-cent Star Wars one.
Now, why would you do that?
Because that's a book I've always wanted to have, and I've never owned it.
Do you want it to have because it's like a variant?
Well, it's a variant, right? I mean, we could get into the whole 30 versus 35 cent variant price tag thing here. I think that has more staying power now than the TMNT book does.
That's kind of like invest. You're thinking like an investor.
Kinda,
right now.
Yeah. Okay. But I'm also more of a Star Wars fan than I am a TMNT fan. That's probably the prime reason for that.
All right.
Is that fair?
Fair. Listen, right. I'm taking notes here.
Okay, take your notes.
Okay, my next question is, who's harder, Iron Man or the Man of Steel?
Oh, I'm going to go with the Man of Steel.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, the Man of Steel is harder than Iron Man.
I'm going to say yes. Yes.
Oh, yeah. And is there any particular insights you can give us? Personal experience, maybe?
I have no insights as to Tony Stark and or Clark Kent.
Right.
I'm going to say that...
maybe you overheard a luncheon at a brunch place?
Well, if I did, that would be really weird if I heard that, you know, for some reason somebody was talking about how hard the Man of Steel was, but I'm just going to say...
Maybe it was a bunch of... Never mind.
Okay, yeah. I'm going to say the Man of Steel.
Okay, Man of Steel. Yeah. All right. Man of Steel with a... kind of a cryptic answer there.
Yeah.
It's all being noted in my thing.
Okay, all right.
Okay, Chris, a guy walks up to you and says, hey, guy.
Yeah.
Guy. I have a high grade, I'm just going to give you a gift. This really, really high grade copy of Hulk number one.
Mm-hmm.
Or this really, really high-grade copy of Fantastic Four number one.
Oh, Hulk number one all the way.
All the way.
All the way.
All the way.
Yeah.
And is that why? Because?
I'm a bigger fan of the Hulk than I am of Fantastic Four. I like both, and I know that Fantastic Four number one is considered by many to be the sort of big kickstart to, if not just the Marvel universe, the entire superhero Silver Age universe. And I know that everybody talks about Showcase number four and all that stuff, but I'm a bigger fan of the Hulk than I am FF.
Okay, hold on. I'm making a note here.
Okay, make your notes. Yeah, yeah. I can see you're scribbling away.
Yeah, all right. And then a couple questions here because this is a foolproof test. You know how they have that Mesa IQ thing?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's
yeah.
nothing compared to my scientific design question thing here. Chris, who would make the best third man on a nice big road trip that you and I are taking?
Oh.
Would it be Hulk or Wolverine?
Oh, boy.
You and I are going on a road trip.
We're going on a road trip,
and we got a third guy in the back. You know.
Oh, that's a great question.
Hulk or Wolverine? Who would you want to take with us?
Man, I'm gonna say Wolverine.
Wolverine?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Okay. Hulk's a little bit too unpredictable.
Too unpredictable.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Too unpredictable.
I think Wolverine.
He rips those shorts every now and then, and then you got to see all that
purple shorts. Yeah. You know.
No need for that.
No need for that.
Nobody needs to see that.
Well, Wolverine, we could at least roast marshmallows if we had a campsite on his claws.
Okay, that's fine. Yeah. That's fair. All right, Chris. A guy comes up to you and offers you for free a beautiful copy of Batman 227.
Yeah.
Or Batman 251.
Oh, boy.
You can have one or the other.
One or the other.
Gorgeous copies. Gleaming, high gloss, beautiful, raw copies of Batman 227, the Adams homage to Tech 31, or that classic Joker cover 251. Which do you take home?
I was just looking at that homage to the Detective one. I was just looking at that book the other day, and I have to say that I'm going to go with the Neil Adams one.
They're both Neil Adams.
Oh, sorry. The homage one with the bat in the background. The homage to the
227.
Yeah, 227. Yeah.
The brooding gothic looking one.
Yeah.
But you always had a soft spot for that gothic art.
I know.
Art,
I do have a soft spot for that stuff. I have a lot of those stupid DC
Sinister House of silliness. I got it. All right. All right. We got a couple more questions, and then you're clear.
Okay.
Then I can pretty well have an answer.
All right.
Guy walks up to you and he goes, hey, Chris, kid, I like you, kid. I like you so much, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do.
Nice. I like that. I like these kind of people.
I'm going to give you a high-grade copy in my desk here. You can have one of them.
Yeah.
I have a gorgeous Action 1 and a gorgeous Detective 27. Take one. Yeah, just get out of here, kid.
Okay.
Just grab one.
Okay. Now, are we going to assume that...
Unrestored, beautiful copies. Originals.
That's a
Action 1 or Detective 27.
I gotta go with
and your motive isn't to go and resell it.
Okay, I gotta go.
Because they'd be roughly the same anyway. One might be a little bit more.
But Action 1 is the first appearance of Superman that has that's the start of the superhero.
Yeah. You know all this. You have to make this decision. But Detective 27 is the first appearance of Batman.
I know.
Who's probably the stronger character.
But Superman started it all.
is how I get into your psyche, young man. This is how I understand what drives you. You have to answer these hard questions.
I just like the fact you called me young man. Oh. I'm gonna go with Action One.
All right. Yeah. Okay. And my last question.
Yeah.
Before I can tell you who you really are.
Yeah.
Is who would you rather wake up to?
Okay.
Power Girl or Power Man?
Power Girl.
Power Girl.
Undeniably.
Undeniably. Yeah. Power Girl. All right. Well, you.
So after you've now, I'm going to give you a minute here. I'm sure you have a lot of calculating to do.
I got a lot of calculating to do, my friend here.
Compiling of information.
Okay. And I've got your archetype.
Okay. All right.
You basically are an ignorant, hetero, deviant fanboy.
That's about right.
Yeah. There you go. If anybody else would like to go through this test, just put your answers down on the comments field.
So listen again, as you're listening, and Walt will give you his
free of charge
professional opinion.
Free of charge,
on all that stuff. All right, listen. Let's just cleanse ourselves from that. Awesome questionnaire. I do appreciate it. Oh, I had a little music there for a second.
Oh.
Then we're going to come back and we're going to end the show. Here's a little bit more Spider-Man. Sorry, there was just a little bit left there.
Chris, not much time left in the show, but another moment to plug our great sponsor this week is the club soda, the Hennessy Mickey, the new Mickey club
soda.
The
new Mickey version.
All ignorant, hetero, deviant fanboys love the new
not
Mickey.
Not really too sure how I became an ignorant one, but hey, you know, whatever, that's fine. You're the professor.
Right.
We should talk about Venom. We should talk about Venom.
Yeah, you know what? I haven't seen the movie yet.
I haven't seen it either.
But hey, good news for local comic book shops, which we champion, and good news for what I love. The best news is those dissenters, those people that think it's always all over, that think, oh, it's going to be crap. Yep. Oh, it's going to be this. This is the number one movie again, second week in a row. The expectations of its drop off were less than expected.
Yep.
So it did better than most critics thought.
And you know what?
It's got legs.
And I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure I read somewhere.
Uh-huh.
That it is the number one movie of all time in Russia.
Woo!
I'm pretty sure I read that somewhere. I could be wrong, but they're
heavy into. They're big fans of that Smirnoff Club soda.
Smirnoff Club soda. Yeah. I know, right?
That's a big seller over there. So. And that may.
I'm a bigger fan of the Stolichnaya Club soda.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. But you know, it's whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
Listen, you know,
how about the Loose Goose Club soda? That's the one
that's
I know.
Okay, yeah, that's okay.
But
you know, Venom is doing very well.
Yeah, which I think
now, one of the things that we talked about last week was the fact that it made $80 million domestically.
Yes.
But what we didn't tell our audiences
is
that it made $120 million in addition internationally.
Right. So people are liking it around the world.
So it made $200 million opening weekend around the world. So it's doing extremely well. And it says it's got legs. And I'm reading articles saying that... you know, it's going to become a cult hit, and there's all kinds of great things about it. I haven't had a chance to see it yet myself, but there are certainly lots of people out there who have, and they love it.
Well, again, I'm just going to reiterate, I think it's fantastic that it's doing well. I love, for example, for one thing, I'm one guy that loves any non-Disney Marvel movie. First of all, I love when a Disney Marvel movie does fantastic.
Sure, absolutely.
Of course. Yep. But I also love it when a non-Disney Marvel movie does fantastic. It's just I love the genre. I love, obviously, I'm a comic shop owner. I like the stuff, you know, the subject matter is good to me.
Yep.
Good for me and good. I enjoy it.
Yeah, yeah.
And I love seeing things like this succeed.
I never thought that there would be a Venom movie. Uh-huh. Like I always thought he would be part of a Spider-Man movie, but I never thought I would see a Venom standalone
Quick
movie.
Flash test here.
Yeah.
I don't know half these answers, sure. So I'm just going to fake that I do.
Okay, go ahead.
First full Venom appearance. What comic?
Oh, Spider-Man 300.
Right. First kind of Venom appearance.
Spider-Man 298?
I think it's Web of 18, where Eddie Brock's kind of... The start of the whole Venom symbiote black costume thing.
Book I talked about earlier, Marvel Superheroes Secret Wars number 8.
That's right. But wasn't it coming out the same month as Amazing Spider-Man 252?
So what happened was Amazing Spider-Man 252 came out before, uh-huh. actually, the week before Superheroes Secret War number 8 came out.
Uh-huh.
So the Black's costume was sort of already spoiled.
Right.
Because it actually came out in real life before these.
But it was supposed to come on after, but they were late with the series or something like that. Right, yeah. Yes. There's a whole essays written
Google
on this
it.
Darn
yeah,
thing written on it. Very, very cool.
Yeah.
What's the first Venom cover?
Oh, that's a great question.
Yeah. I don't know. I think I know. I think
Venom
I know.
Venom cover.
I think I know. I think I know.
And
it's a huge, it's purple. It kind of matches your shirt, believe it or not.
Is it? Oh, man. Is that?
Chris's shirt is purple.
Spidey.
You're right.
Three.
Yeah. Hey, right.
The Todd McFarlane one. 321? 315. 16.
316, right. 315, 316, 317
okay.
were the Venom ones. I think 316 is that big, huge,
yeah.
where he's just got him and he's shaking him like a shakedown.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right, huge Venom cover. And that thing's taken off. That thing's worth $1 billion now.
I never thought about that. Never thought about the first cover because
guys, smart guys, way smarter than me.
Yeah.
When everybody was buying 300s, they were buying 50 copies of 316.
And they could get them for a buck each.
Oh, not a buck, but 15, you know, 20, 25 bucks each.
Yeah.
Now they're selling them for 100.
Huh.
Yeah.
I never thought about that.
All right, Chris. Hey, listen, that ends today's show.
Yeah, we got running out of time here quickly.
Comic Culture is produced and engineered by Chris Owen. We're at 93.3 CFMU. The McMaster's award-winning radio station. We're podcasting at comicbookdaily.com. Enter your comments in the comments fields, please. And please go out and support your local comic book shop.
And I also encourage you to let us know what your favorite first starting out comic books would be for a new comic book reader.
My Arnold Horshack test
there you go.
In the comments field.
And have yourself a wonderful day.